Hello, hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show at www.traveladviceshow.com. Thank you everybody for listening. We give travel advice throughout the whole world, and any trips that you have and any advice that you need on your travels, feel free to give us an email at show@traveladviceshow.com or call in anytime. My name's Chris Newton. I'm one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host is Gerald Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. It's a great day today, and I'm really excited about talking about Ireland,
yeah,
which is one of my favorite countries in the world.
Yeah,
I know it's yours, too.
Me too, yeah. Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, I spent around almost a year there, living there and traveling all around Ireland, and yeah, Jerry, I'm excited too. It's one of my favorite destinations, and you know, there's so much to explore in Ireland. You can spend a long time there and really haven't seen it all. But yeah,
I know I've only been there maybe 25 or so times. So you know, you've got me beat on that. And so it's gonna be interesting to see about the what we recommend for people to do. What is your favorite part of Ireland?
Where I spent the most of my time was in West Cork. Ireland's divided up into counties, and County Cork is the county that I spent most of my time in, and I thought it was a really beautiful place. The capital in Cork.
Why don't you say where Cork is located? Part of Ireland.
Sure. Cork is the southwestern part of Ireland. So if you're coming from Dublin, from the capital, which is kind of the central east part, right on the eastern coast there of Ireland. And then if you go, it's like four or five hour drive from Dublin to go to Cork, which is the capital of County Cork.
How far are you from Shannon?
You're around driving, you're probably like around two or three hour drive from Shannon. And that's the other major airport. Shannon and Dublin are probably the two one of the big international airports in Ireland, and Cork City. I flew out of Cork and flew into Cork City. They have a good, decent airport there that you can start your adventures. And I kind of make Cork as like my hub to kind of branch off. You can do a lot of day trips, and also, you know, you can just make that kind of your base and then go around the coast area. Yeah, and there's so many little towns, little villages in West Cork and Cork area. I really like this town called Baltimore. It's an amazing town with like 200 people in it, and it's a lot of little fishing villages. The fishing is kind of one of the main industries in that area, and also tourism. So I think that's one of my favorite areas because it's pretty remote. Once you get outside of Cork, Cork is the second biggest city in Ireland. Dublin's the biggest, and then Cork is the second biggest. Probably, I would say around 100,000 people. I would say, Jerry, you think Cork?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. And
yeah, I think something like that. I mean, it's not a huge city, but it's a big place.
Yeah. It's, you can tell the hustle and bustle of the city, and you know, that there's a lot of, in Cork itself, there's a lot of good restaurants, and they have a real good cuisine, and I recommend if anybody's on a budget to stay at Sheila's Hostel in Cork. It's a hostel where you can stay in one bedroom, or you know, have a bedroom or share the beds, and it's a great way to kind of meet a fellow travelers. You know, but yeah, what are some of your favorite spots, Jerry, that you've explored around Ireland? There.
Well, I agree with you that Cork is a great place to if you don't want to move around a lot.
Yeah.
Because you can kiss the Blarney Stone, and you can go around the Ring of Kerry.
Oh, right.
And I mean, there's so many. You can golf all over the place and do some fabulous trout fishing. You can do some great things just from one hotel within an hour or two drive.
Yeah.
So in a day trip, you can see a tremendous amount of, as you mentioned, the southern part of Ireland. I really like Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
But my favorite part, if I had to say a favorite part, because, I mean, Ireland is magnificent.
Yeah.
I don't think there's such a thing as a lousy place in Ireland.
Right.
But if I had to say my favorite, it'd be from Galway North.
Oh, okay.
I like Galway and going north, all the way up to where it ends, the northern part of the Republic of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I like that is it's not as touristy.
Right.
Only probably, I don't know the exact numbers, but probably one out of every tourist that goes to Ireland ever goes there.
All right.
Most of them do the fly into Dublin and or Shannon and do the circle trip. Or just go like into Dublin, go down to Cork, do the Reign of Kerry and all the famous things down there, head back up to Shannon and fly out. Or they ride back into Dublin. Many people don't go any farther north. And that's the main reason I like it. It is so non-touristy. But another reason I really love it is because it's older to me. It feels like it's older. And as much as in a very small area, you can see the ruins that are very similar to Stonehenge in England.
All right.
And you can be driving down the road and here come the sheep. They just block the road as they're changing pastures and going between the rock walls. And it just seems 50 years older than Ireland, which is 100 years older than England, I think, in lifestyle. And but I love all of Ireland. As I said, there's no such thing as a horrible part of Ireland.
Yeah.
You can go there. I've been there many, many times, and you live there a year, and you still haven't done it all, have you?
No, actually, I've never explored the northern part where you're just talking about, like Donegal. I heard about these Aran Islands are supposed to be amazing. Have you ever heard of those islands?
Well, they're fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. Nobody goes there. They have little airlines that flies over there, and it takes maybe 10, 15 minutes, not much. And they are windblown and desolate and rocky and magnificent. They have no huge hotels there. They have B&B type, inn type hotels. Mm-hmm. And I love them. They're good for hiking and walking around through the mountains. They're not really mountains, but they're big, giant hills.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rugged and just barren type. And they're green and pretty in much of it, but it's very different from the mainland of Ireland. And I love it.
Yeah.
I've only been there about four times.
Oh, okay.
But they're great. Another part that I like about the northern part of Ireland, Shannon North or Galway in that area, is that they have so many historical things there. Much of the history of Ireland is from there. So if you're into history, the older part, you want to spend time up there. And I try and think specifically of some of the things that I find fascinating. But every inch of it has something of import. Well, all of Ireland is filled with history. But this part seems to be more interesting history. And I'm trying to think of the three. Well, I already mentioned about the Stonehenge-type ruins. They have old, old churches. The cemeteries have been around forever,
mm-hmm.
and they've had lots of unique houses and famous places that you can stay in. They do have some castles, there are some legal castles in that area, but they're more big manor homes. And if you want to stay in that, or you can stay in the B&B, or you can go camping, all kinds of things. But it's just so unique. Well, that's one thing we should talk about. Before I get more specific, is the ways of traveling of Ireland. Because, I mean, Ireland is very small.
Yeah.
You can legally, drive around from Dublin over to Cork to Shannon back to Dublin and easy in a day, can't you?
Within 8 or 10 hours, to drive.
Yeah. I mean, and not even stop too much, but you could drive. It's not a big place, per se. And what are some of your favorite ways of getting around Ireland?
I actually, in the rural areas, you know, like once you get outside the big city, I took the bus. The bus is pretty reasonable, and also the buses seem to go in almost every village, every town almost.
Yeah.
Even a town that has like 50 people or so, you know, the bus, they have a pretty good bus system. The buses are pretty big. You get pretty good leg room, I remember, and you know. So the bus system's good. The train is pretty good too. If you're connecting kind of to the bigger cities, if you're going from Dublin to Galway or Dublin to Cork, you know, if you're the train's pretty fast. Relatively, it's still not. It's not like I think their train system's not as equipped like fast for really fast travel, but it does a pretty good job. I think their train system is pretty decent, but it's not like the super state-of-the-art train system.
Right.
And then flying internally, I flew from Dublin to Cork a few times, you know, or there's a lot of little Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus is a good, or Ryanair. Ryanair is a real discount airline that's based out
that's
of Dublin.
R-Y-A-N.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. And I don't know if I should be saying this, but I've actually hitchhiked around Ireland pretty good.
I know.
I've done it
the first couple of times I went there, that was the primary way that I went around there, was hitchhiking.
Really? You went around? Yeah. And I met some great people. But you got to be really careful, you know, just safety wise and everything. But Jerry, I met this one guy down in a Cork, County Cork area, and I was trying to get a ride up to Dublin or figuring out how to get up to Dublin. And I met this gentleman, his name's Steve. He was a great guy that lived in Dublin, and he was on holiday in the Cork area. To Dublin, I said, oh my gosh, yeah, that'll be great. And it was a 4-hour drive. He even bought my lunch on the way up to Dublin. And then he's like, where are you going to stay in Dublin? And this is kind of going back to the hospitality that the Irish people give to tourists, I think. He's like, where are you going to stay? And I said, oh, I'm just going to stay at the hostel and fly out in the morning. I was flying out of Dublin. He's like, no bother. You know, you could stay at my house, you know. And I was like, oh, geez. And I felt kind of bad. I didn't want to impose or anything. But he was like, no, stay at my house, and I'll even give you a ride to the airport in the morning. You know, and I was like,
well,
oh, my God.
Well, that sounds Irish.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but we kept on writing letters back and forth. And, it was a great experience meeting people on the road, and I've met some great people. I'm sure you have too. When they pick you up, and they're always curious on why you're, what are you doing, like you're traveling, and they love people from anywhere. They just love travelers. I think they're really into the whole traveling, and
You know, that's one country, and my experience has been, it's getting less and less this way. But did you notice that many of the Irish have not been to much of Ireland?
Yes.
That they stay in their little villages and their little counties and their little areas, and they don't really travel Ireland as much as the French travel France and the Italians travel Italy and some other countries. Have you noticed that?
I agree. Yes, I have. Or if they do travel, they go maybe like 3 hours or so, you know, for a weekend or.
Right.
I didn't meet a whole lot of people that actually, traveled around. Most of the people that I met traveling were from Europe or from all around the world, but not many Irish people traveling around Ireland. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they like to go. I think they like to go down to Spain in the sun down in the Mediterranean.
That's right. I know they leave as quick as they can. And they go. They're from one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and they go down to the sun.
Yeah.
You can't think.
Yeah. And speaking of sun, I think the best time or the time that I've enjoyed the most, the weather-wise in Ireland, was like May and June. I don't know if you agree with that.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I've been not each month. I think I've never been there in January.
Oh, you don't want to go in January. It's pretty cold and damp.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
December and February have been bad enough.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever been there in March.
Okay.
But I've been there at every other month, and I've been there May and June most of the time. Because, you know, it's the best time to do the British Isles, I think. Just for the whole British Isles.
Yeah.
And it's not the warmest in some cases, but it seems to be the best weather most of the time. Why don't you describe the winter? Because you said you've been about a year.
Yeah.
From about what, November through March, I would call it winter.
Yeah.
And describe a typical day in the winter as far as weather-wise.
Okay. Yeah, I spent the winter in Dublin, actually, in the capital city. The day was. I've never seen like a rainstorm like last so long. Like sometimes, when the rainstorm comes in, it's just one after another, kind of. But I kind of appreciated it though, actually, the rain and the clouds. It was, and that's why tea was really popular, because it kind of warms you up. And but the typical weather though, it's probably like in Fahrenheit, it's like in the 40s maybe. It never really got below freezing too much, except maybe in the countryside. It snows up in the, and if I double like in the Wicklow Mountains area, you know, it does have some snow, but not much snow. It melts pretty quickly. But yeah, it was, you know, it was just very damp. But it had a unique charm to it though. I enjoyed, I didn't find it that bad. But it was kind of a topic of conversation, and I think everybody in Ireland like just realizes, okay, this is it. And that's why they like to go to the sun at those times and go to Turkey or Spain or, but I felt that the days were pretty short too. It gets dark, relatively like around four through maybe even 3:30 in the afternoon. And so you don't have a whole lot of daylight and the days go by pretty quick. Yeah, it's very unique though. I enjoyed like being there at that time, but I remember November was really a rough month for me in Dublin. Like, I mean, it rained. I didn't have a car or anything. I had to get around by bus and by public transportation, and I got soaked a lot. Like, even when you have an umbrella, it's so windy that the umbrella really doesn't work out when you're walking around town or something.
Now, what I'm trying to get across is, if you're going to go to Ireland and you want one of the best experiences, you should go May, June, July, and August.
Maybe
September, but those are the best months to go. And it's also the most difficult time to travel because it's the most crowded.
Right.
And so you got to book heavier or allow for the extra time to get check in the hotel earlier to get space. But you've got to really be careful. In the winter, a lot of things are closed in the winter.
I noticed
some of the sightseeing. And
A lot of bed and breakfasts are closed, and they just kind of take the whole winter off. But I've always wanted to go to the coast in the wintertime. I think it'd be really, if you want to kind of get away and have a real quiet holiday, and that'd be, you know, being right on the ocean in the wintertime with the storms coming in, I think, it would be unique.
It is.
Yeah. And one thing about the coasts, there's so much coast and coastline. And one thing I like about Ireland too is that they don't really have built up resorts as much as other coastal places. You know, did you notice that too? Like the beaches are pretty ice down in southern Cork area. I used to go to the beach all the time, and nobody would be there at the beach, and you'd have the whole. It would a little chilly, but you get the Gulf Stream too, and that's one thing. Ireland doesn't get really cold because the Gulf Stream comes up, and really down in southern Cork, I even saw there's palm trees down there, and
I know it's amazing. People are stunned.
And I think that's the vegetation down in the south part. It's amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god, there's palm trees all around, and it really from that Gulf Stream, from the warm waters coming over, and it really warms up the Ireland. But yeah, the history too. I became kind of a history buff over there, and I learned a lot about the potato famine that happened like in the 1800s there. And but I enjoy the Celtic history too. There's a lot of ancient history, which is fascinating. Yeah, so. I think it's
one thing that I learned over there, and I hope they're telling me the truth, but one of my visits over there, they took me to a place in Western Ireland, and I can't think where it is because it's not really in the area, as I recall. But a friend of mine that I had met told me that this was a spot where Christopher Columbus left from to go to America on, I think, his third visit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he came from, like, Portugal or Spain or somewhere, and he went bopping around different ways. The first time he went down to the Canary Islands and went over. That's his first visit. But one of his visits, he went north, and he last time he saw Europe was in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
So I hope they told me the truth. I never documented it, but I felt like it was true when he told me.
Yeah.
There's no reason to lie about it.
I betcha. Yeah. There's a history of like a lot of Algerians and North Africans actually came up to Ireland too, and they, Ireland has seen a lot of people. It's like a stop-off ground kind of, heading to North America or around it. They had a lot of if you're in the scuba diving down in the southern part, there's a lot of wreckage, a lot of World War II, World War I submarines down there that you can actually go to. They have tours in Baltimore, and you can actually go down and see the wreckage, and there's a lot of history with the maritime in that area. Yeah, so I could see him doing that. Yeah, maybe the current brought him up there or something and then came across.
Another thing that's really interesting about Ireland, we should talk a minute about golfing in Ireland. Of course, golfers already know a lot about it, but many people say that golfing actually started in Ireland and not Scotland. There's a big debate as to where it did start, and I've been to places where they say this is where it did start. But no matter what, golfing has been in Ireland a very long time, hundreds of years, and there are many world-class, magnificent golf courses. And there's some fabulous hotels right at the golf course, just as there are in Scotland. So there's, you can golf all over Ireland, and this golf, each one of them is a little bit different. Some go along streams, and some go closer to the ocean, and just spectacular golfing, just unbelievable. And the fishing, and one thing that we didn't mention is bicycling.
Road biking or mountain biking,
And cycling around Ireland. A lot of people do that.
Oh, yeah, I met quite a few, actually, that do a big, that go around the whole island, and, for like a month or two,
And there's a lot of different kinds of hiking trips. A lot of people go to Ireland to hike, and you can do different trails or go from village to village, and that's another way to get to know the local people and not go too far on your trip, because you don't want to walk more than 10 miles or whatever a day, but it is a spectacular way of seeing it. And as you mentioned on the history, we just mentioned about sunken submarines and things, and maybe Christopher Columbus actually went there. And so many people did go there. I mean, if you do research, you can spend months and months in Ireland in a very small area.
Because
it's so small, and just you can go the literature route. I mean, some very famous people came from Ireland and wrote in Ireland.
Irish. I actually lived in Dublin, right on the street where James Joyce lived, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the North Great George's Street, right off of O'Connell Street there in Dublin there. And he had a museum there. And, if you get a chance, I recommend to our listeners that that's a great literary place to start in that museum. It's right on North Great George's Street, right in downtown Dublin. But yeah, talk about the literary. Oh yeah, and they even on their money, well before the euro came about, but they're really passionate about their literary,
heritage.
Yeah, they're very. Yeah, it's great, and the music too. I forgot to say the music is such a big part too.
I know, and the music is very hypnotic. It's becoming known throughout the world because of the Celtic dancers and different dance groups that are going around, become much more popular. But the one thing, like, is it Anna? A-N-A-N-A, I think is the name of that group. They're Celtic singers.
They're great.
Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. But one thing we haven't even mentioned, everybody that visits that country must do, is go pubbing.
Oh, yes. I think that's the best experience I had in Ireland.
Even if you don't drink, you've got to go pubbing.
I agree. You see so much of the culture there, and everybody. Were you there when all of a sudden they just start like a music act, and everybody just starts singing, and it's a real family atmosphere too.
And the nice thing about it is it's so informal, and you become family within half an hour. And the pubs is in many places, it really is the center of the nightlife. It's where all the gossip is spread around, all the news,
right.
And a lot of business takes place. And the food, in almost every case, is very good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very edible and very filling and healthy. And it's just, you must bank on spending probably at least a third to half of your evenings in pubs
mm-hmm.
as you go around Ireland, and maybe every night. Not every night, but most of the night, because the pubbing of Ireland is a must. It is mandatory.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. Yeah, I met so many people in the pubs, and just the history, too, the way they're decorated. They have so much historical mm-hmm. value, too. I was amazed by that,
yeah.
Like amazing paintings and maps. And, you know, they mm-hmm. really, yeah, you can tell it's a cornerstone of the community mm-hmm. almost. Yeah.
Yeah, and you must spend time in. Another thing that we should talk about a minute
sure.
is how long should a visitor, maybe a first-time visitor, stay in Ireland?
Ooh,
and it's hard to say because it depends on, of course, why you're going. If you're going golfing, that you would stay in one or two places longer maybe, or trout fishing, or depending on what you want to do in Ireland. But I recommend, our company recommends also, that you should never go to Ireland and stay less than 1 week. Even if you're just doing a normal touristy one from maybe Shannon all the way down south to Kerry and Cork and coming back to Dublin, you need a week, a minimum of 1 week, and you'll not regret that. I think the first-time visitor should stay a week, but if you're never coming back, you know you'll never go back, not because you don't like it, you just don't have the time, then you should stay at least 12 days. And spend the other 4 or 5 days in the Aran Islands and or up in the northern part. And just see it and get a very good overview. Because that's the minimum that you can do Ireland in and even get a feel for it. Because don't you think Ireland, not only because of the scenery, you need to take time to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those places that you must, as you even mentioned, you must go out to the beaches and walk these beaches when the wind's blowing and the waves are pounding.
Yeah.
And stand on the cliffs. You must go and watch the fish, the boats coming in and going out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to take time to feel Ireland. It's a feeling country.
It is. Not only
is it visually beautiful. I mean, there are very few pieces on earth that's more beautiful as a whole country than Ireland. I mean, have you ever seen an ugly part of Ireland, even in the interior?
No, I haven't. I tried to. I tried to look around for anything that I can. No, but even in the interior, I thought that I took a bus ride from Dublin to Cork, and in the central, there's so much uniqueness, too, in these little villages that you just never heard of. Yeah, there's nothing. I've never been to, you know, everyone. Oh, were you amazed, too, when you travel around Ireland? All the houses, too, are, like, bright color painted along the coast there.
Yeah.
Even in the villages, they're bright colors, yeah.
I know, I always was under the impression before I went the first time that Ireland, that, you know, is green and beautiful, but because you always just think of rain. Like Seattle, you think it's going to be cloudy and rainy and windy and just kind of crummy weather.
Right.
Where in Seattle, it's not always kind of crummy, but I mean, in Ireland, it's not always crummy. But you just think everything's going to be drab. And you see the movies of all these little cabin-type little houses and
right.
roof bungalows. And everybody's wearing browns and blacks, and you know, and you go into pubs and they're dark, and there's no lights except candles. I mean, you really have in many cases a sort of a warped opinion of Ireland when you go because they maybe show the potato famine or something like that.
Right.
But there's color there,
there's
light there, and action, and the people are smiling, and they're the happiest people.
Oh yeah,
and it's wonderful, and. It's a dichotomy because there is that element of the, I don't want to say drab because that's not true, but it has the browns and the blacks and
mm-hmm.
the darks and there's that element there. But there's that dichotomy of this beautiful color and the fishing village. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just, you go, wow, this is Ireland.
Yeah, right. I couldn't believe it. Like, yeah, it was beautiful, beautiful. And I've actually stayed in a lot of bed and breakfasts in Ireland, which was a great option, you know, for people who want to meet some local people, you know, and also, yeah, it's a very, very good value, I thought, for the money and everything. So.
Yeah, and they're a wonderful place in, when you go to the smaller places.
Yeah.
If you get out of the touristy towns,
mm-hmm.
There must be, what, maybe 10 places that I call tourist towns.
Right.
And where everybody goes, like where you kiss the Blarney Stone and these things, and you stay in normal places that everybody does. And then, but if you stay in smaller ones, like in Baltimore, as you did,
yeah,
and it's kind of smaller, you want to stay in the B&Bs.
Yeah.
Definitely the smaller inns, mm-hmm, with no more than 10 rooms, so that you can get to know the people who actually own them and run them.
Yeah, and you're right there. And then you usually go out to the pub with them, too. I've done that before.
Yeah.
You know, they invite you to the pub, mm-hmm, and they introduce you to all their people in the community. Yeah, it's they really open
up. They even take you to parties.
One time,
I stayed at a B&B up in the northern part, a very small town, and the woman, the wife, was part of the choir. And I went to a choir rehearsal. She took me to the choir at this old church, and it's wonderful. And they met everybody, and we all went to the pub afterwards. And, I mean, you just become one of them. And I mean, there's nothing like Ireland in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And as I say, most people go to Ireland 3 or 4 times in their life or more, and plan on a week minimum to do the southern part, the circle trip, and then add at least 4 or 5 more days to do the northern, and then you've got a decent idea of what it's like. And most people rent cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, renting cars, yeah, that's a good option too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what most people do, for many reasons. Number one, you have a place to keep your luggage when it rains, and you got to have a place to get in when it rains.
Right.
It's going to rain on you sometime.
Yeah.
And if not more than less, it's going to rain in Ireland. And as a result, it also gives you a chance to move quicker. You don't have to wait on the bus or the train schedule.
Yeah.
And you can move quicker if your time is limited. But if you have more time, if you can allow a month, 3 weeks, then definitely. Well, mix and match. Take the local buses in the smaller areas. Take the local train once in a while, mm-hmm, and rent a car to do another part. But the trains and the buses are not quite as frequent. And so mix and match, and then fly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with flying from the north down to the south, down to Cork, for example.
Yeah.
And walk in there. And don't hesitate. One time I flew into Dublin, and I flew to Galway. Just changed planes, went to Galway, and started in Galway instead of Dublin or Shannon, so I could get a head start and save 4 or 5 hours of driving and get farther north and then head on down. So, I mean, mix and match the things. Have you spent any time or much time in England, Chris?
I have, yeah. I lived in England for 2 years, to 2.5 years.
I wanted to have you mention that because now you spent a year in Ireland and a year in England. And a lot of people that we talk to have never been there either. A lot of times they'll say, well, I'll just go to England or England, Scotland, because that's representative of the British Isles. What would your response be to that type of a question?
Ireland is just so more unique than England or Scotland, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want a different feel and a different flair. I mean, it's so different, I think, than England or Scotland. I think Scotland's more similar to Ireland than England.
Uh-huh.
But I think England, but England has its unique charms too. But it has a different feel. England's a little more crowded and more population. Most of the cities.
It seems to be more modern, if that's the word to use, doesn't it?
Yeah, more modern. That's a good, more freeways and, more modern, yeah. And Ireland, I always feel like you're going back in time, and in some parts, like, you still feel like it's everything just slows down pretty good.
You feel almost like the 1800s in many ways, don't you?
You do.
Rural villages. I don't think they've changed much in 200 years, except running water and electricity.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they haven't changed them. And also too, Ireland is the most progressive country too with technology, and it's funny, like they're very, very into, like, they're very high tech. But then once you get out in the rural areas, it feels like you're going back in time like a couple hundred years or so. But
I know.
They have a good
balance.
And that's
the charm of it.
Yeah.
And so what we tell our clients that call us, we tell them, you must go to all of the British Isle countries because each one is so different.
Yes.
I mean, Wales.
Yeah, Wales
is nothing like England or Ireland or Scotland.
No.
I mean, there's yeah, maybe 10% of each of these that are sort of related, because they're all sort of British,
mm-hmm.
if that's the word to use.
Yeah.
They have a common element.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you might as well be, we're speaking really Spain, Germany, France, and Italy.
Yeah.
They're very different countries in many, many, like, many, many things. So they need to go to Ireland, and you need to stay a minimum of 1 week. You could stay a month and not do it all and not be bored. It's a phenomenal place to visit.
I agree.
Was there anything else we need to talk? We didn't talk about museums there in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
We did. We talked about the one about James. But do you find Ireland loaded with museums, and are they exciting, or do you find that it's not a place that you would go to museums unless you just happen to be there? What do you think about museums?
Right. Well, it's funny. I didn't really visit that many museums. I've been to this. They're starting to get new museums, like for the potato famine. They have a museum in Skibbereen that I went to that was really interpretive, very good museum. But I think the museums, I go to the pubs for the museums.
Right.
It might sound, you know, but I how about like in Trinity College there, the Book of Kells is a great thing. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know, Jerry, I'm not too familiar with a lot of the museums in Ireland as much.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
People don't go for the museums.
Yeah.
There are museums in Ireland, but they're not noted for their museums, with the exception of the one or two that you've mentioned and maybe one or two others.
Yeah.
But they, like in England, there's billions of museums everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of Europe, but in Ireland, there are museums, but you don't go to the museums.
Right.
I mean, you go to Paris to see the Louvre, for example.
Yeah.
And you go different places to see that museum. I mean, you go to Washington, D.C. to see a museum, because there's six or seven that are fabulous. But you don't go to Ireland to see museums. And if you happen to be in an area, go see it. And they're very good. But you're right. You go for the life, the people.
Yeah.
And right. The pub is where you find it. And talking to them, staying in the B&Bs and small country inns,
mm-hmm.
You go for the people. And you come away absolutely loving it. It's
oh,
a fantastic
yeah.
destination.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great, Jerry. Yeah, we covered a lot of things. I think for people that are newly going to Ireland or want to go again and
mm-hmm.
see different areas, and that was great. Yeah, it's one of my favorite destinations to go to. And I guess I have a little bias. I spent a lot of time there, but I fell in love with it though, and I want to go back as soon as I can.
Well, I bet you fell in love with it within about the first 2 hours.
I did. I went there on.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, I went there on holiday, and then I decided, oh, I'm going to go back and try to stay here as long as I can, you know. And,
I know.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with Ireland. You fall in love within hours. It's
oh,
not
yeah.
like 6 weeks later you say, oh, that's a great place.
Yeah.
You say, I love this place.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, what are we going to talk about next week?
Okay, next week we're going to talk about Indonesia there, and we're going to talk about the different islands and all the areas around Indonesia, and I want to let everybody know that, yeah, you can email questions, and please comment on the shows. If anybody out there is from Ireland who's listening to the show, please comment on what you thought about the show, we broadcast, we're a podcast, so you can get us on all the directories out there, on iTunes, and a lot of directories. We'd love your feedback, right, Jerry? Yeah, I mean, it would be great to let everybody, you know, let us know how we're doing, if we sound okay. You know, we're improving the show week by week, and we're a weekly travel advice show there. And so, yeah, please stay tuned. Thank you for everybody listening.
Hope so.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry, well, great to talk to you, and enjoy the show. Yeah. And
well, okay. Until next week.
Okay, yeah, till next week, Jerry. Okay.
Bye.